Welcome to the Almost 20 podcast. The Almost 20 podcast is a podcast for people in their late teenage years going to their 20s, and also for people in their 20s. If you're someone who's passionate about self-development, self-growth, and basically all things self, then this podcast is definitely for you. Today is an extra special episode, an exciting one at that, because I have an amazing guest today with me. He's a student leader, a teenpreneur, the founder of Mubarak Malections and the Law Academy, both of which I consider his brainchild. Aliu, how's it going, man? How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Martin. And you?
Yeah, I'm all right, honestly. I'm all right. So, Aliu, could you tell us a bit about yourself? Who is Aliu Muhammad Mubarak?
Hey, thanks for the question. Aliu Muhammad Mubarak is a handsome, sexy young guy.
Nice one.
Who is super ambitious.
Yeah.
And just have diverse, multifaceted passions, right? And
yes.
He's someone who is on his self-development journey. He's just working to be a better person one day at a time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I've said this too many times, especially with people I normally hang out with, that when somebody mentions they're on their self-development journey, I feel excited for some reason. And it might sound weird, but I feel excited and I love that, Sha. When I was doing the introduction, I did mention that you are the founder of Mubarak Malections and the Law Academy. Could you tell us a bit about that? Like, what is Mubarak Malections and what is the Law Academy? What are they all about?
All right. Mubarak Malections is an online marketplace owned by me. So it's a place where we sell goods and offer services, and we basically connect buyers and sellers, right? And our products are top notch, the best price, the best quality that you can get anywhere in Nigeria. And then the Law Academy is a mentorship program tailored to just newly admitted law students, to mentor them on starting their undergraduate studies and helping them navigate it, the difficulties, right? Teaching them the secrets, right? And so on. So
yes,
that's what it's all about. Just tailored to their welfare and growth and academic excellence.
That's really nice. After this recording, I'm heading straight to Mubarak Malections. No wasting of time. So what kind of goods and services does Mubarak Malections have? When you say he offers goods and services, do you mean every single kind of goods and services? Every?
Okay. Not necessarily every. I mean, I can't. Even Amazon and the Jumia and every, they don't sell everything, right?
Yeah.
We basically deal on clothing, that is shirts and you know, these nice clothing. We deal on footwears, from shoes to sneakers to pumps and every other thing. We also have a section that deals with internet subscription and the rest. We have a section that
that's
deals
like
with
data plans and the rest of that.
And then we have a section that deals with handmade beads, you know, and handmade materials. Like from waist ring to, so what is it, to bracelets. We even offer customized services for those top-notch materials and the best design you can get anywhere.
Damn! Like seriously, after now, I'm not playing. I'm heading straight to Mubarak Malections. All my checklist, I'm ticking them off immediately.
We are ready for sales and I'm waiting for you.
All right then, so heading straight into today's topic, let's dive right in. Today's topic, as you know, is being the firstborn, a topic that I am sure most of our fellow firstborns, this topic is probably going to hit home to them. And I'm sure you and I, we both relate to this topic, considering the fact that, you know, we are both firstborns, right?
Yeah.
Like this topic is going to be an exciting one. So let's just head straight into it. What's
Can't wait.
the first thing that comes into your mind when you think about being the firstborn, or when you hear the word like firstborn? What's the first thing that comes into your mind?
Well, the first thing that comes into my mind for me is responsibilities. From being a responsible human being myself to being responsible for others, right? From my siblings and family and every other thing.
Okay. And I mean, it's as though firstborn, the word firstborn is synonymous with responsibilities, like you said. I guess the word responsibility is quite synonymous with firstborn, I would say, in some sense. So I'd like to ask you, what is it like being the firstborn for you? Like, what has your experience been so far? Could you tell us a bit about that?
It has been a combination of bittersweet experiences, right? But I'll start with the bitter aspect, right? So that I end with
Yes, the sweet
I
one.
end with the sweet aspect. So the bitter aspect basically has to do with restrictions, and that is mostly parental restrictions, and this thing of not having the opportunity to enjoy your childhood the way your junior ones. I don't know, like, if you relate to that, right?
That's not even a question for me on my end. I definitely relate with this part so much.
So, as for the restrictions part, sometimes, they are just overbearing restrictions on you. You are not allowed to go out to this place, and then your junior one who is now the age that you were when you were being restricted is allowed to, like, you understand, engage in those things, and nobody is restricting her and things like that. Yeah, so it's
Yes,
basically restrictions, and
I
but I
definitely.
don't yeah I'm not like resentful about it, but yeah, I mean, it would have been better.
Definitely. I feel like I definitely relate with that part of growing up with a different, having a different childhood. And this is not something that I feel like might be very specific to some people. I feel like most firstborns, their experience might have been like that, in the sense that after during their own childhood, they probably had a very strict, somewhat strict, maybe it's not bad. Maybe it's not bad for some people, but for some people, the entire pattern or the entire method that they used growing up is different from their siblings, right? Should we even get into the aspect of phones? Our own turn. I don't know if it was the same thing for you, but I know our own turn, my own turn, particularly growing up, phones, particularly smartphones, were something that you should even dream of getting probably after your WAEC, right? But then look at my younger siblings. Let me not even talk. People that have barely even reached the senior side, they have phones already, right?
I
So
completely relate to you on that. I mean, my first phone was this what they call it, it's a Nokia phone, right? And the only thing can do is call someone, and then the only fun thing that's in there is playing snake games and those games and all that, which as at then sure was a luxury, right? Because not many people had access to that. And then I think I had my first smartphone. That should be GS3 or something. Yeah.
You're a
And you
big
can
boy,
imagine.
you had your own at GSS3, like, wow, lucky you. Lucky you indeed. Mine was still
Really?
S.
Oh my. I mean, your parents love you now, so. Really?
You did not just
And
but
now I see my sister. Sure, my sister had her first smartphone. That should be when she was in, I think it should be JS1, something like that. Yeah,
You see
should
what
be
I'm saying?
JS1.
You see what
And
I'm
I'm
saying?
like,
It it is
and
it is it is so different. Why do you think it's like that?
so
No, honestly, why do you think it's
different.
like that? Why do you think that for us? Like, I feel like most firstborns now that are listening, right? I'm not saying that this podcast is actually restricted to just firstborns, right? But today's topic is particularly for the firstborns. But why do you think that it's like that? Why do you think that most of the firstborns, their experiences were a little bit different in the sense that they didn't have, right? Would it be safe to call it freedom?
Yes.
Why do you think that they have that freedom, this freedom that the younger ones now of this time have?
Well, to me, I think I'm going to say this from a parent's perspective. I'm going to use an analogy here. Now, do you remember the first time that you got maybe your smartphone or something?
Yes, I remember.
Do you know how you catered for it and cared for it? And I don't know if you were like that, but definitely I was like that. At an extent, even overprotective with it, right? But now maybe that one got spoiled or something, and then the second one, you're not as overprotective as you are with it. So I think it's similar to parents and parenting. Since we are their first issue, right?
Yes.
They are new to the world of parenting, and they just have to. Well, they have good intentions. Whatever they did was with good intentions, right? Even though at times they were overbearing. Hello, really?
That good intentions, eh?
Like, no, it was. But they were being too strict. But yeah, it was, everything was with wanting the best for us and wanting us to become better people. Yeah, that's just it. That's how I say it.
Yeah. Even when we talk about like us having a different childhood experience, right?
Yeah.
I would say that in the sense of that childhood experience and everything, I feel like for me personally, right? Aside, you know, the issue of the phone, which was annoying on its own, it's an entirely different story on its own. I feel like for me, being the firstborn, my own experience was that I felt like I had to, you know, grew up quickly, right?
Yeah.
And it's not as though I'm complaining, right? It's not as though I'm complaining. Mm. The thing, it actually did help me, as it, you know, it helped me, right? And I feel like in the sense of it helping me, it kind of helped me, would I say, become more mature and responsible, even though most of my friends, they'll beg to differ. But it helps me in the sense of being mature, being responsible, and all of that. So there's that. Do you also relate with growing up fast and being mature early than your younger ones, to the point that sometimes you would even see some things they are doing and you'd be like, when I was your age, but you don't want to sound like some sort of grandpa.
I mean, I completely relate with that. I know the aspect of sounding like a grandpa. I mean, my sister, you know, I'm a Gen Z, but my sister usually says I come from the Stone Age, right?
That's brutal. Not even Gen X or even previous generations. Stone Age. Yo.
Why does she say that? Because of my, when I say it's maturity, I don't know. But I'm me always giving advices and so being sometimes unnecessarily matured, right?
Yes.
To be like, I cannot even have this Gen Z vibe and the rest.
Yes. Yeah. I relate with that. Get that.
Yeah, so definitely it has helped. No. It has been very helpful in making me quite matured. And it has really helped me a great deal to be also independent, except from being matured, right? So I tend to like embark on adventures on my own. And
adventures.
When I mean adventures, it's not climbing mountains.
You said adventures in Nigeria. I was wondering which adventure again.
This is smarter. Stop that. When I mean adventure, oh my gosh, you know what I mean. You do not want me to explain.
I do not. Young man, explain yourself. What do you mean by adventures? Because I have not had adventures. Explain to our firstborns and other listeners how you have adventures in Nigeria, please.
Okay, when I mean adventure, it's not necessarily the things we see on Disney or
like Dora the Explorer kind of adventure.
Yeah, it's not that. So all I mean is just maybe a pet project, you know, you embark on it by yourself. I mean, it's an adventure, right? The process of learning, exploring, and discovering. So come on, Martin, stop
Whatever you say.
All right. So yeah, so it has been very, very, very helpful. I mean, there are some kids my age or even older than me. Well, I won't be mentioning my age here. So
Even you don't even need to mention your age. All our listeners need to know is that you're Gen Z. We are all Gen Z's.
So they are quite older, but I don't know if this is a comparison that counts, but owing to the fact that maybe they are last borns and they are, and then you see the level of maturity, you understand it. Well, it's not, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Wait, are you trying to say that like in kids your age, right? People your age, but they are not
Yeah,
firstborns, right? They are
yes,
lastborns
older
and they are
than
not
me.
mature.
Not all, but majority that I've encountered, right? Even when I mean they're not mature, you know, there is this definition of maturity that I have,
No, I
and
feel yeah.
yeah, and like they don't tend to like align with that, and I don't know, I
No,
just
I think I kind of get what you I think I kind of get. Majority of people I hang around with, most of them are not firstborns. Yeah, at least the ones I've hung around before. So from what you're saying, I think I can understand it from an I understand it. I do. I feel like most firstborns, not all of them, but majority of firstborns,
not
there's just this thing of
all
maturity. Yeah, that
of
you just see them like, I get that. Do you think that there are
them.
any bad sides? I mean, we've mentioned the good sides of this. We've mentioned the, you know, being more responsible, being mature. Like there are the good sides of it. Do you think there are any? I thought it might not be something really bad, though, but anything at all that would count as, would I say, a bad side to being the firstborn? Does that even make sense? Is there really a bad side to being the firstborn, or is there some side that is not so good to being the firstborn?
Well, to me, I've already mentioned it before, which is the restrictions aspect. It's not necessarily like bad, but it was a bit sore, right? It was a bit bitter. Yeah,
Definitely not
so
an exciting thing.
So but I think it has also helped in shaping us, right? And you should understand that different firstborns have different and particular experiences, but yeah, it's just the restriction part, and it's not necessarily, I don't really see it as a very bad thing, right?
Yeah. Okay. We mentioned, I mean, you did mention and gave that wonderful analogy about the way parents, you likened it to the phone and taking care of it and all of that. And I did like the analogy of it. But do you think that parents, maybe they maybe unintentionally, were kind of test subjects? I don't even know if this is the question I should ask because I feel like we've already talked about this part, right? But I just felt like maybe I should ask it again. But do you think that parents, maybe they used us as test subjects? I don't know if that sounds weird. Or maybe would you say that you firstborns could actually be considered, you know, children who were sort of, let's say, test subjects for their parents in a way that it came with good things and then it came with its bad things too?
I mean, yes, if you ask me, yeah, because we were the first, right? And so they were trying out, kind of trying out different things on us, and to see maybe which will work better or something like that with regards to parenting. Maybe some people were subjected to helicopter parenting, people were subjected to the strict type of parenting, and but
What is
with the
helicopter
second
parenting?
helicopter parenting, I think it's this type of how do I explain it now? This type of parenting whereby parents are overprotective about their children, right? They just want to dictate everything, and yeah, I think that is what helicopter parenting. I mean, you should do some googling, right? But I think
Okay,
yeah, that
yeah,
is basically what.
thank you. Yeah, I would go and just do the Googling. Thank you for that explanation.
So but with the subsequent ones, why some people we are subjected to very, very strict, you understand, and some were subjected to like being independent, like not, they were not too strict with them, and at the same time they were not too loose with them. So but you tend to notice one trend, and it is that with the second and subsequent ones, their styles, that the style of parenting and every other thing is almost always different with that of the first
somewhat some somewhat first, lenient.
Yeah, and I mean, it is not always the same. I mean, maybe there might be exceptional cases, but it's probably not always the same. Yeah,
like majority of them, it is this lenient.
Yeah.
Leniency. Yeah. I get that.
Mm.
So, yeah. Liu, are there any responsibilities that you faced growing up as the eldest that, you know, might have shaped your personality or the choices you make today? Right? We've talked about a lot of things already. But would you say they are specific? And I feel like I would also talk about my own, right? But are there any experiences or any responsibilities or anything at all? I think I would round it up to experiences that you faced growing up as the eldest, right? That you would say, this is something, because I'm the first one, I have thought about it, and I think this is kind of attributes to why I do so things or why I behave this way. Is there anything like that?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, especially with the aspect of being, like I told you, my sister always tells me that I belong to the Stone Age and every other thing.
Yes.
So I think that can be attributed to the fact that I was, or I am, like a second parent to her, right?
Yes.
And then you are always saddled with the responsibility of making sure that your younger ones or those who look after you who look up to you are all right, right?
Yes.
You from a certain light and so on and so forth. Yeah, so I mean, personally, at that, like I've said before, I am somewhat independent. I'm somewhat vigilant, very vigilant.
Yes.
So I think, you know, that's whereby you're, you know, maybe those that are not in Nigeria might not really related with this, but in Nigeria, yeah, and the Nigerian parent is going out, lock this door, ensure.
Yes.
And
yes, I relate with that.
Comes in, right? And
yes,
then you are very, very vigilant. And even when you go to play with her, if anything should happen to her, even though it is her fault, or you know, the fault of your younger siblings, it is definitely you that they are coming.
You're carrying the cross of everything.
Yeah. So I think those have contributed in making me quite matured, right?
Yes.
Quite independent.
Yes.
And I mean, it doesn't even start with the cleaning part and the cooking part, even though I'm not such a good cook. I'm a somewhat terrible cook, but
yeah.
But I try.
I think that. For me, my own, I think it ties back to a couple of things. I think there are just a few things that I would say that shaped me and my own personality and choices. I think that I would consider myself to be somewhat mature, right? And that maturity also comes with, in my own opinion, I feel like that maturity also comes with some sort of overthinking, right? I feel like for me, growing up as the firstborn, I feel like for my siblings, that's my younger ones, to them, it doesn't really matter what's happening. Like, they're just concerned about the present, and if they're hungry, they want to eat food. If this, it's just like, hey, just give it, like, but I feel like for me, on my own end, there's this process of thinking about this and thinking about that, and I don't know, does that entire thing make sense?
I'm trying
to see how to put it.
I completely understand. I mean, there are some times that you're just like remnants about the future, and then and then you'll be like, okay, I have to plan my life well.
Exactly. Even when it, I feel like even when it comes to not only just future things, but even when it comes to basic things, you're thinking of how to do this, how to arrange this, how to do this. But I feel like to the younger ones, it doesn't really matter. And I think that I relate with that part where you mentioned something about, you know, when the parents go out and you're like, lock this or lock this. I feel like for the younger ones, it does not concern them at all. But for me, on the other hand, there's this alertness, there's this you have to just be articulate, all those things. Now, I'm not saying that some other like, you know, last born, second born, the other children aside the first born, they do not have that. I'm sure a lot of them have amazing qualities, by the way, right? But I'm saying that for most of the first borns, me too, at least from my own perspective, being the first born has brought about this maturity and this alertness, like you mentioned, that ordinarily is quite different for other siblings, right? For other people, for other, you get.
Yes, I completely understand.
Yeah, so let's talk about the pressures that come with being a firstborn in the sense of, setting an example, right? I think we've probably, even during our own personal conversations that we've had, we've definitely talked about this, right? And I'm sure every firstborn listening, they probably also relate with the pressures that come with being the firstborn. There's so many pressures that I feel like if we sat down here to just talk about, we would spend the entire day talking about pressures that the firstborn face. But from what you've faced and from everything you've experienced so far, do you think there is a kind of way or some sort of advice or anything that you think that a person or a firstborn going through, like how would they handle these pressures that they're going through?
For me, there is a quote in our local parlance that goes like, "Go do as your strength reach." I don't know, Mathens, if you know that.
I'm not, I am from a different country. I don't understand
Oh,
y'all.
so now
Yes,
you're
I
denying
forgot to tell
your
you.
motherland. You should be ashamed. Don't
Who's
worry.
whose motherland? I'm sorry.
Your motherland. Well, don't worry. Let's move on. Let's move on. Yeah, okay. No problem. Apostle will hear of this. So,
Let's move on, like you said.
it's just doing to your absolute best, right? You do not have
Yes.
to kill yourself because all of a
Yeah.
sudden you became or you are something that you didn't even ask for, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do not also have to run away or shy completely away from those responsibilities. It's all about finding a healthy balance and doing
Yeah.
your best, not killing yourself. That's just what I will have to
Yeah.
say with that aspect. You examine things and then just know what
Yes.
works.
Finding a healthy balance. I really love that. And I would even love you to expatiate on that. I feel like for most firstborns, everybody has different pressures that they're facing. Some people might be financial pressure to succeed. Some of them is academic pressure, setting the standards or even maintaining the standards. Some people it's different kind of pressure, right? So what do you mean when you say finding a balance with it? Do you mean finding a balance which they as much as you can do? And I don't just want you to explain on that. Do you mean finding a balance within doing as much as you can and also keeping yourself sane? What do you mean by that, finding a healthy balance?
I think you've already stated it. Doing as much as you can and still
Yeah.
catering for yourself. Not, I mean, come
Yeah.
on. We came to this world by ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And definitely would go back, to our maker and the rest. So I think it's first and foremost,
Yeah.
in aspects like this, we should learn to be cynical. Not to be cynical as in a bad way, but
Yes.
yeah, putting ourselves first, then definitely those responsibilities, they would always be there, but
Yeah, it's
you
kind of
cannot,
inevitable.
they are inevitable. And but at the same time, you can imagine neglecting everything about your life and just focusing on maybe one
Yes.
responsibility or the other because
Yes,
you
yes.
happen to be the first child.
Yes.
It's no, now then, what is the reason for life, right? Just neglecting yourself
Actually,
completely on the rest.
actually.
Yeah, so it doesn't.
Yes.
So you should learn to find the healthy balance, cater for yourself, then do as much as you can with the rest of the responsibilities.
Wow, that makes sense. If so, would you say personally, I would like to ask you, would you say personally at some point these kind of expectations, because you just basically give us advice on how to handle these expectations and all of that, and I really liked that. I would like to ask you, would you say that at some point the expectations that you had personally as the firstborn, would you say that at some point, they were too much to the point that you felt some sort of, resentment or even burnout towards wherever or whatever external factors that pressure was coming from? Did you ever reach that point?
Yes, I mean, once in a while, I did feel
Yeah.
some pressures and not necessarily resentment in a bad way, but yeah, I felt like I wish it would have been someone else. You get that feeling, right?
Yeah, I
But
do.
yeah, but in all, I mean, it's all good. We are moving.
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I think for me at some point, it was just that I was just somewhat sad. It was like, how did I even ask to be the firstborn? Like, what's all these things that I'm experiencing, I guess at some point, it's like, yeah, even the parents too, they are also going through life. Everybody's going through life like for the first
Exactly.
time, right? There's no nobody got a manual as to how to do this life thing. But at some point,
Exactly.
it can get frustrating, right? And yeah, and I felt like, what's all this? Like, what are all these expectations? What are all these? You're the firstborn, you're handling so many responsibilities. So I did feel that, you know.
Yeah, I can relate with that as well. I mean, once in a while.
Yes.
I mean, come on now. Even in our current studies, I mean, there are times where you meet certain topics in our academics and the rest. You meet, have certain experiences.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, gosh, this is so tough. I mean, I believe you get that. I'm like,
yes,
why
I
me?
Do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But in all, it's all good, right? We just have to keep moving. So long as there is life,
gotta
right?
Keep pushing
there is
as hope.
Yeah, I think.
I feel like for
there
me,
is hope.
when, yeah, just even touch on this part in terms of academics, I feel like for me, in terms of the academic side, when it comes to these kind of things, I feel like for me, I don't know if I've told you before during one of our conversations, but I feel like, you know, I feel like my parents, the both of them actually did study arts, right? They studied the arts, right? Totally and completely from secondary school to university. Everything they did was art and social sciences, right? So none of them did touch science the way that me now, as the first child, I'm studying, you know, the science side and all of that. So I feel like there was a lot of things I had to navigate on my own. And some people might relate to this, you know, seeing subjects that your parents might not be conversant with, right? And it's not as though there's too much of a problem, but I feel like maybe it could have been better if they at least went through that part, right? And I'm just using this because it's something that was personal to me. You know, my parents were art students and art everything, and I was on the science side, right? And there were some concepts. At some point, I'm like, what's all this? You see that subject for that mass? I almost ran mad. Like, you're lucky you're talking to a sane Martins right now. If not, you would have seen me on the streets. You see for that mass, and then I'm just so angry because then there was this pressure of, guy, you have to understand this for that mass. What's this score I'm seeing? What's... And I'm like, people don't understand at all. Like, people don't understand. Why come and differentiate? Do the Y, the X here for me. Tell me why people are shouting and say people went through these things. So yeah, I do relate with
the
that.
X and the Y for me.
I am telling you. So yeah, I do relate with that, honestly.
Yeah.
I do relate with that. So I'd like to ask you, I feel like you being a student leader, like I mentioned earlier, right? And also being a firstborn, that's the eldest. I feel in a way, these roles, they kind of complement each other in a way. So I would love to ask you, are there any lessons that being the eldest or being the firstborn has taught you that, you know, maybe every now and then these lessons, they kind of help you, or would I say kind of make the role easier as a student leader?
Yes. I mean, you know, in the scenario of leadership and followership and things like that, there are a lot of things involved. And you should understand that as a firstborn, especially if you had siblings, you've already played the role. Now, it all depends on how you played yours, right? But speaking from my experience, that's taught me a lot, from learning to be patient, to learning to see things from other people's perspectives, and learning to better handle conflicts. I mean, sometimes, but most times, I tend to be better at mediating and navigating conflicts and the rest. So, I mean, the role of being a firstborn, to me, I think it's a role of leadership, and it's a role which complements being a student leader as well. I mean, you remember those times when your siblings, as the case may be for you, would annoy the hell out of you. And if you follow it like that, you will be giving some people bows and some people bars, and who knows. But well, you just have to be patient and just swallow everything. So I mean, it's same thing with leadership. Sometimes people are annoying the life out of you, you know, they annoy you so bad, but you just have to be patient and see how you can better navigate things.
I get that. I feel like even the sense of empathy, like you mentioned, when it comes to having even siblings, right? I feel like at some point It teaches you to be empathetic, if I don't know if that's the word, or understanding, seeing different opinions and, kind of understanding those opinions as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like that also adds to it, right? Does it? Would you relate to that too?
Yeah, I mean, I can completely relate with that. As I've said before, it's all about you being able to see things from different perspectives, knowing when to be subtle with your actions and when to enforce certain actions and the rest. So I think that's what it's all about.
Okay, so Aliyu, we are almost reaching the end of today's episode, which has been amazing
Okay.
actually so far.
It's been
I would
very
just like
beautiful.
to ask you one more question, right? And I would
Okay.
like to give you advice on it. So I want to ask you if there's any final advice you could give to the listeners that are currently listening, or even particularly the firstborns that are listening. Is there any final advice, word of advice, would I say word of comfort that you can give?
Well, I would say, sweethearts out there, including you, Martin, we've got only one life and we've got to live it well. So care for yourself, love yourself, do things that are in the best interest of yourself. And then, as a firstborn, just don't allow the responsibilities, how do I put it now, to be so of. Overbearing on you that you fail to cater for yourself, right? Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. There will always be responsibilities and there will always be good and bad times, but in all, we should just learn to live life and, if possible, happily.
Yeah, that's really nice. Thank you for that, Aliyu. That was really
Thank you,
nice.
sir.
So we've come to
Thank
the
you.
final and the usual conclusion that we've been having in every single episode of the podcast, whereby I summarize the points
Yeah.
discussed. Although in this episode, I'm going to be taking the conclusion from Aliyu's advice that he gave us, right? And from Aliyu's advice, he talked about taking care of yourself, loving yourself, realizing that you have just one life to live, right? So why not just make the best of it, right? And also realizing that as the firstborn, the responsibilities are always going to be there, but you should try your best to not let those responsibilities outweigh you down, or would I say weigh you down to the point that you neglect yourself, right? You came to this life to live for you, and in as much as those responsibilities are always going to be there, you should also neglect, your personal self too, yourself rather. Yeah. And I think I would also like to add that you're not alone, right? In this thing, there are so many other firstborns that are going through the same thing. So even if you feel as though you're alone in this, I promise you are not, okay? There's me, there's Aliyu, there's we are going through all of these things, right? So anytime you feel any sort of way, just remember I and Aliyu, we are going through it. Anytime you feel like shit, like this thing is too much, just know I and Aliyu, we got your back, okay? We are all doing this together. And I hope that at the end of it will be something that we'd all look back and laugh on. Yeah. And that's it. We've come to the end of today's episode. That's all we've got for today. Aliyu, thank you so much for honoring us with your presence in today's episode. You
Thank
guys
you
should check
too,
out,
Martin, for having
yeah.
me.
All right, so you guys should go check out Aliyu on Instagram and check out Aliyu on Facebook. All of these links will be in the description below. Aliyu, Mubarak Malections is also on Instagram and Facebook, right?
Yes, it's
Okay.
also on
So
Facebook
someone who's listening to this podcast or this episode for the first time and they're hearing about the Law Academy for the first time, who is it? Someone who's a
and
law student. Is
Instagram.
the law academy restricted to just students from a particular institution, 100 level students, 100 level law students from a particular institution, or is it across the country?
Okay, it's across the country, so across Nigeria, right? 100 level
Yes.
students across Nigeria, and
Yes.
we kind of have limited slots, right? Because we don't want
Yeah.
to, because I'm not the only one doing this.
Yeah.
We are a group, and then we don't want to over take people that we cannot deliver well for, right? So the
Yeah.
slot is just limited to 150 persons, so it's like a paid
Yeah.
mentorship and everything. You would have one-on-one access, have relevant materials, get access to databases that will be of help to you, and definitely your success is guaranteed.
Yeah, you guys have heard that, right? So waste no time in checking out the Law Academy. So, Ali, if someone who wants to check out the Law Academy, where can they find the Law
Well,
Academy?
currently, the Law Academy is not on any social profile, so they can just DM me and then
DM you on
we tell
Instagram
them
or
the
on
procedures and
Facebook.
everything like that. Instagram, Facebook, and preferably my WhatsApp. Maybe I'll be dropping my WhatsApp or my Telegram line here for you. All
Yeah,
right.
you guys are going to find it in the episode description below.
Yeah.
Right, that's all we've got for today. Aliyu, thank you once again for joining
Thank you
today's
so much,
episode.
Martin, for having me. I
Yeah,
mean, it's a
it's.
pleasure. So thank you for opening your doors to me.
Yeah, as I always say, thank you for listening and I appreciate you for tuning in. Don't forget to follow the podcast. Don't forget to rate the podcast. Don't forget to share this podcast to anybody who you feel like would benefit a thing or two from today's episode or from the podcast as a whole. Check out the Almost 20 podcast on Instagram at Almost 20 Podcast. The link is in the episode description below. Follow me, your host, on Instagram at underscore Guy Martins. Once again, the link is in the episode description below. Mubarak Malections, the Law Academy, and Aliyu's social media handles are all in the episode description below. New episodes every Sunday. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.